And aren't you glad when He called your name? Amen. I'm sure glad this morning He's still rolling stones. And thank you, praise team. What an awesome job. Did they do an awesome job? Yes, they did. They did an awesome job. Let's try that again. Didn't they do an awesome job? There we go. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, as you know, we've been thinking and talking about the Holy Spirit. Under the theme and title of Holiness Unto the Lord. It's this concept of experiencing the Holy Spirit in our life and walking before the Lord in holiness. And as believers, we've come to understand, and I hope that we know so clearly this morning, that the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is absolutely vital to walking in holiness, to being able to walk before the Lord and to experience the Lord. And so we want to continue today to look at the Holy Spirit. And so last week we began to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. In that time frame, we discovered what the Holy Spirit did before we became Christians. This week, I would like for us to continue to explore the Holy Spirit, to begin to understand more about the work of the Holy Spirit as we consider the work of the Spirit when we are converted or saved or born again, or ask Christ into our heart and life, however you want to term that, but that crisis moment in our life where we accepted Christ as Savior. We want to consider the work of the Holy Spirit as well as what the Holy Spirit does beyond our conversion. So we're going to look at two aspects today of the work of the Holy Spirit. And to help us begin to understand a little bit more about the work of the Holy Spirit, I would ask us if we'd take our Bibles this morning. And we want to invite those of you that are joining us online this morning to get your Bible as well. And we're going to turn over to John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And so let's stand together this morning. Take our Bibles. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 this morning, as we continue to think about the work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 1 this morning. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God. No one can do these things that You do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Join us this morning, if you would, in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to You this morning, we are so thankful to be able to be gathered together in this place, experiencing in our lives the work of the Holy Spirit. And we ask that You would continue to allow the Holy Spirit today to move on us in such a powerful way and to do a deep work in our heart and life, to continue to change us and mold us, Lord, into the fashion of Your Son, and to help us today to really genuinely understand how important Your work is in our life. And so for that to happen, Lord, we need You to continue to come on the scene and continue to work and move upon us. And so, Lord, as we come to Your Word this morning and continue to think about what the Word says to us in regard to the work of the Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that You would reveal Your Word to us this morning, and that You would help us, Lord, to be able to share Your Word with Your people this morning in regard to the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we simply ask this morning that Your will and Your way be accomplished in these moments together. For we ask in the powerful and the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Many of us are probably familiar with the visit of Nicodemus to Jesus here in John chapter 3. And so Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, had, if you would, some questions he wanted to share with Jesus. And in this conversation, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about the necessity of being born again. And Nicodemus asked this question, if a man when he is old can be born again. And then Jesus begins to talk about the work of the Spirit in the lives of individuals. And this concept of being born again is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we'll see that hopefully this morning begin to unfold as we share with you the work of the Holy Spirit at conversion. When that individual surrenders their life, their heart to the Lord and asks for forgiveness of sin. And that is the work of the Spirit. And so we'll see that happen. And you see Jesus in this conversation with Nicodemus in regard to this, to the work of the Spirit. And he says to Nicodemus that the things of the flesh are of the flesh, but the things of the Spirit are of the Spirit. And so this morning we want to talk once again about the work of the Holy Spirit at that moment of conversion, that crisis moment where we ask Christ to come into our life and forgive us of our sin. And then we're going to explore for just a few moments also this morning what begins to happen after we're saved as the Holy Spirit continues to work in our heart and life. And so this morning, as we continue to think about holiness unto the Lord, let's look at the work of the Holy Spirit when we're born again. And so there's several things we'll see that the Holy Spirit does in the heart and the life of the believer. First of all, what we'll discover, and we see this in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, at that moment of conversion. When I speak about conversion, that's that moment we're born again or we're saved or we give our heart to the Lord, however you want to term that, but we're going to refer to it either as born again or being or conversion. So at that moment of conversion, we understand that the Holy Spirit renews and regenerates us. We see that in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And it says to us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so when it comes to that place of conversion, that place where we ask Christ into our life, it's not because we have done anything, but it's because of the work of the cross and the work then, well, of Jesus at the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit then that moves in our lives that brings renewal and regeneration. And so at that moment of conversion, that moment in which we're born again, the Holy Spirit is still at work in our life. Remember last week we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit before we came to Christ and that the Holy Spirit was already at work in our life. I want you to know at that moment in which you accepted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit was still at work and He is the one that brings renewal and regeneration to the heart of the believer. And when we talk about renew, when we talk about being renewed, it's to be made new again. Would you like to be made new again? Come on, stay with me. All of us would. And that's spiritually, that's exactly what happens when we come to Christ and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, that we are renewed. The slate is wiped clean and we're right in the sight of God. Our sins have been forgiven. We are like made new again. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit renew, but He regenerates. And to regenerate is this concept of being reformed or reborn. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. When we come to the Lord and we're born again, it's not being born of flesh, but it's being born of Spirit. And so when we're regenerated, we're reformed or reborn in a spiritual or a moral sense. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we ask Christ to come into our life at that crisis moment, at conversion, we are made new again. And we are reborn in the Spirit. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life at conversion. But not only does He renew and regenerate us, will also understand that He brings life to our souls. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 shares with us, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit who has brought renewal and regeneration to us at conversion, brings life to us. There isn't a one of us this morning that doesn't want a life. I hope that we all have life. We're breathing. But I want to tell you there's a difference in breathing and having life. Life is brought to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Because when we become believers, we die to sin. Who we were before, we dies. And so if there's death, there has to be life. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring life to us. And when I'm talking about life, I'm talking about more than just taking in oxygen and expelling carbon dioxide from our body. I'm talking about the fact that we're new creatures in Christ. That there's hope. And there's joy, and there's peace, and there's things that we just never understood before that the Holy Spirit then brings into our life. We have life because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit bring life to us at conversion, the Holy Spirit becomes the witness to our salvation. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." It's the work of the Holy Spirit to witness that moment in which we become believers in Christ. And He not only witnesses it, but He confirms it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to confirm what God is doing in us. And so that moment in which we accept Christ as Savior, that moment in which we ask for forgiveness of sin, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that confirms to us that we've been forgiven and that we've become a child of God. And I certainly hope this morning, if you've accepted Christ as Savior, that you can remember that moment when you knew. I remember as a teenager there at Plug Run, when I knelt at that altar and I asked Christ into my life, there was a moment in which I just knew that I had been forgiven and had become a child of God. If you've not experienced that, it's really hard to explain. But there's a moment you know. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Confirming, witnessing that moment in your life in which you've accepted Christ in your life. Not only does He witness our salvation, He teaches us spiritual truths. If we need anything as believers in Christ, we need spiritual truths. And so we discover here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." And so it's then the work of the Holy Spirit, once we are saved, to begin to work in us, and we're going to see more of this happen as we share more about the work of the Holy Spirit, but to teach us spiritual truths, things that we've never, ever understood before, we're going to become able at some level to understand. Many people have come to me and said, "Pastor, I really don't understand sometimes what Scripture says to me." I understand that. But as we grow in the Lord from that point of conversion, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and reveal to us spiritual truths. And so the longer we serve the Lord, as we grow in Him, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal spiritual truths to us. In fact, it was the work of the Holy Spirit who revealed to you the very fact that you needed Christ as Savior. That's a spiritual truth. And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Even before conversion, He's revealing spiritual truth to us. at the point of conversion, He reveals spiritual truth. And beyond that moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit is still revealing to us spiritual truth. Not only does He reveal that spiritual truth, but He also guides us unto the truth. We see that in John chapter 16, verse 13. That shares with us, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." It's the work of the Holy Spirit to guide us to the truth of Christ and the truth of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit has been our guide even before conversion. He's guiding us to that moment where we accept Christ. And He's going to guide us, and He guides us through those moments as we're asking for forgiveness. And He's going to guide us beyond those moments. And so the Holy Spirit becomes our guide in regard to the truth. Well, we live in a day where we need to understand some truth. Amen. Boy, we sure do. And then we'll also understand that is the Holy Spirit that helps us when we pray. Even in that moment where we come to the Lord and we're praying and asking for forgiveness. It's the Holy Spirit then that helps us in those moments. Romans 8:26 shares with us, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." There's so much information right here in this passage of Scripture this morning. We don't have the time to share all that. But to get the thought this morning that the work of the Holy Spirit is to help us when we pray. And so for all of us who have come to that place of conversion in our life, the Holy Spirit continues to help us pray. But this morning, if you've not come to that moment, and sometimes as people come to the Lord, they're not sure what to pray. I want you to know this morning that at that moment of conversion, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray that prayer of forgiveness. We can quickly see this morning that the Holy Spirit is at work, constantly at work, before conversion, after conversion, at conversion. The Holy Spirit is at work. And I think we can quickly see why the work of the Holy Spirit is vital in the life of the believer. Because it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conversion in our life. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us through those moments. And it'll be the Holy Spirit that will help us then grow in Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary in the life of the believer. And so not only is the Holy Spirit at work at that moment of conversion, or that moment in which we are born again, as Jesus refers to as He speaks with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we also understand that the work of the Holy Spirit also continues after conversion, or after we are born again. There's things that the Holy Spirit continues to do in and through us. And I don't want to take anything away from the moment of conversion, because that's really what it's all about. It's all about redeeming grace. It's all about coming to the Lord. But to really grasp the work of the Holy Spirit and to understand this concept of living a holy life is that work that begins to happen after conversion. Powerful, amazing things continue to happen. And so I'm going to take just a few moments this morning in this continued thought of the work of the Holy Spirit after conversion. And so we'll discover that after conversion, the Holy Spirit fills our heart and lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The believer is to be filled with the Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit then who fills our life. He literally pours Himself into us. You'll see multiple times in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit comes overwhelmingly on the heart and life of the believer. And they do amazing things for the work of the kingdom. Over and over and over again. I want you to know this morning, as believers, when the Lord needs us to do something, He will fill us. He fills us even at other points, but He will fill us over and over again. It's kind of like your automobile, if I could say this morning. You fill your car up and you drive it for a while, and if you don't fill it up again, you'll find out very quickly that you're going to have issues. I know I've shared this many, many years ago. We used to have a blue Chevy Astro van. We loved that van. We drove that thing everywhere. It only had one problem, among many. But anyway, and it was the gas gauge. If you didn't pay close attention to it, it would actually get down to empty, and then it would move back to a quarter tank. So if you weren't paying attention and it went past the quarter tank and you didn't realize that, you'd be driving down the road expecting to have a quarter tank of gas. And there was multiple times, me and my family's going down the road, and the van goes, and we just kind of look at each other and said, it's empty. Thankfully, there's been some gracious people along the way who has come back and did what? They filled us up. I remember one time we were in Johnstown, Ohio, and that van ran out of gas, and we were probably about two blocks from the gas station. Beautiful picture of me and my family out pushing this van down the road to the gas station. You can imagine what that scene would look like, and there always has to be one, right? There always has to be one that said to me, "Boy, your van gets good gas mileage." Nonetheless, church, we need to be filled. Just like our automobile, there's times we need to be filled. That's the work of the Holy Spirit after we're converted. He continues to fill us. That's good stuff. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He pours Himself into us. And I would encourage you never to run on empty. We found out when the van ran out of gas, it was a whole lot harder and required a whole lot more work. It was a whole lot more uncomfortable than it should have been. The same way in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gets us through those moments of difficulty because He continues to fill us. We'll also understand that the work of the Holy Spirit beyond conversion is the fact that He wants to sanctify our hearts and lives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth." The Holy Spirit desires to sanctify us. And we talked about sanctification. We'll talk more about that next week as well. But the concept of sanctification is simply to be set apart. The Holy Spirit wants to set us apart. If something is sanctified, it's set apart for use for God. And so after conversion, the Holy Spirit desires to sanctify us so that we can be used of God. It's that point that we do the work of God under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit of God instead of our own ability and power. And so the Lord wants to set us apart. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not only does He want to sanctify us and set us apart, the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to be witnesses. Empower us to be witnesses. We see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to be witnesses. Witnesses to what? The work of salvation. We've been converted. We are not the same as we used to be. And I guarantee you, people are going to notice when you start living for the Lord. There's changes in your life. Because what? The work of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. And so the Holy Spirit then wants to empower us to be witnesses, to be able to share with others what happened in our life. And so He empowers us to tell others in regard to this work of salvation, to what Christ has done through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not only does He want to empower us to be witnesses to salvation, He wants to constantly or consistently dwell in us. John chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. This beautiful thing of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is absolutely beautiful and wonderful and powerful. It's the concept of the Holy Spirit being in us. The New Testament teaches us that we in the New Testament are the temple of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to fill the temple of the Lord. And if we can get our hands on and our minds around the very fact that when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, because we talked to you about last week in regard to the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're one and the same, yet three very different individuals. But when the Holy Spirit indwells us, lives in us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in us. That's amazing stuff. We talked about the Holy Spirit last week as the paraclete, and we did give understanding not paraclete. We don't want to be or parakeet. We don't want to be mixed up with that. But the one who comes alongside. Not only is He the one who comes alongside, but He's also the one who comes in. There's a difference, tremendous difference. When we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit that comes alongside and the work of the Holy Spirit that comes in. And it's a powerful moment. We hope to be able to share more with you about that next week. But if we can get this inside-outside scenario. All of us live in a house, right? Some sort. You spend more time inside or more time outside. Now, I love to be outside, but I mean, hour for hour, I probably do spend more time indoors than I do outdoors. I mean, that's where we typically eat, and sometimes we eat around the campfire. That's good stuff, too. But there's something about being inside versus outside. When it's raining, do you stay out in the rain or do you go inside? Help me out. You go inside. If it ever snows, and Alice, I know you're going to be wanting snow. That Alice loves snow. When it's snowing outside and it's really cold, are you going to sleep outside or inside? There may be a few crazy of us, ones like put up a tent and sleep outside. There might be a few of us. When you go to the grocery store and you get your groceries, when you bring them home, do you put them outside or inside? When you get your new recliner, do you put that outside or inside? Now, I have seen some outside, I have to admit, but typically it goes on the inside. So what we discover is there's something about being inside. That's where we live. That's where life happens, often, is inside. And I want you to get this concept of the Holy Spirit not just coming alongside us on the outside, but the Holy Spirit living inside. Where we eat, sleep, and live. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's one thing to have a helper on the outside. It's another thing to have a helper on the inside. And so the Holy Spirit desires to dwell in us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not only desire to dwell in us, we also understand from Romans chapter 12, verse 6, that the Holy Spirit has given us a gift. The Holy Spirit, after conversion, or at conversion, really, gives us a gift. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy, and in proportion to our faith. And if you read chapter 12 of Romans, there's a whole list of spiritual gifts that's given to the believer. The work of the Holy Spirit gifts us. The gift from the Holy Spirit is given to us for the work of ministry. And so all of us is gifted in some form or fashion. That's the work of the Holy Spirit as He dwells in us, giving us an ability to be able to accomplish the work of the kingdom, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody's gift's going to differ a little bit. And this morning, we don't have time to talk about all the spiritual gifts, but I want you to know this morning, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you, you are gifted in some form or fashion for ministry. That's part of that work of the Holy Spirit setting us apart to be used by God in some form or fashion. And then this morning, the last thing I want to share with you in regard to the work of the Holy Spirit after conversion is that it's the Holy Spirit that helps us and shows us the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 share with us. But the fruit of the Spirit, or the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We've been talking about this concept of holiness unto the Lord, living a holy life before the Lord. For that to happen, we need to allow the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to increase in us the fruit of the Spirit. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it really is talking about the evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. It simply is the holy lifestyle, this concept of the fruit of the Spirit. And we might ask, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, Scripture shared that with us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or another translation might be endurance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, we can continue to grow and understand this thing of love and of joy and of peace and of endurance or patience. We love that word, don't we? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so if we ever really wonder, is the Holy Spirit at work? We can come to this and we can take a quiz. How am I doing with joy? How am I doing with peace? How am I doing with this thing of long-suffering, endurance, patience? Am I being kind? Am I being good? I hope you're all being good. We're all good, right? You just didn't lie, did you? All right. Am I being faithful? Am I being gentle? And of course, that last one, how are we doing with self-control? The work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit works in us in regard to the fruit of the Spirit. Evidence. It says the Holy Spirit's at work in my life. We could go on and on and on this morning. You're probably saying, oh, no, we don't, no, we don't, no, we don't. You're a tough crowd. That's all. It's good to be tough in these days. I hope that we understand and get this concept that the work of the Holy Spirit is vital to the life of the believer. It's the Holy Spirit that's at work before conversion. It's the Holy Spirit that's at work during conversion. It's the Holy Spirit that is at work in our lives after conversion. If we're going to live a holy life, it requires the Holy Spirit to continually be at work in our lives. Next week, we'll continue to think about the work of the Holy Spirit. Talk about this beautiful thing of sanctification. But today, as we come to a close, I wonder, what are we allowing the Holy Spirit to do in our lives? Dean mentioned earlier this concept of surrender. The truth is, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We continue to allow Him to move on us and dwell in us and help us to become everything that the Lord desires us to be. So I ask you today, I want you to think about, what am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to do in my life today? And in fact, I encourage you tomorrow morning when you get up, that you would ask yourself, what am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to do in my life today? And when you get up Tuesday morning, what am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to do in my life today? And Wednesday morning, what are we going to ask? And on Thursday morning? On Friday morning? I'm starting to lose you. Saturday morning? And Sunday morning, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to bring me to church where I'm going to experience Christ in my life. I really hope that we'll do that this week. And we'll genuinely allow the Holy Spirit to do great things in our life. Praise team last week sang Francisca Bettistelli's song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome in This Place. I hope that's our heart's desire. Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome in this place. And I'm not just talking about the walls of this beautiful sanctuary that the Lord has blessed us with, but I'm talking about the indwelling Spirit in our heart and life. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. Kathy, can I have you come back to the platform this morning? And Lana, if you'd come to the piano, can we do the chorus for Come Holy Spirit? If we need anything in our lives today, it is the Lord. The Lord works in our lives today through the work of the Holy Spirit. Last week we understood that Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. He's gone away, the Comforter has come. Would we today be willing to, just at this point, to say, Come Holy Spirit, I need You. Come sweet Spirit, in Your own gentle way.